50 days of prayer. We're doing this because we want to pray that the Spirit of God, the presence of God, heaven will come in this place. We're praying that this will be a beacon of hope and light to our community, and that the presence of God and His power will be manifested. We're also praying that demonic spirits, territorial spirits that may be over regions, over this church, over this region, maybe over families, be broken, that the presence of God can come in more powerfully. And we're praying that revival will come to our church, that will come to our city. But we're praying also 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land." And so he says, "I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." And so we're praying in agreement regularly for a great awakening to come to our nation as well. How many of you just agree in prayer again? How many of you agree with those prayers today? Just raise your hand. Father, we just proclaim it again. Lord, let heaven come in this place. Your presence, your kingdom, your power, your authority be manifested. Lord, we pray, Father, against every demonic stronghold over our lives, over our families, over this region. We bind its power. God, dispatch your angels in war in the heavenlies. Defeat the enemies, and God, let your light shine. Lord, let this church become a beacon of hope and light. Father, I pray for revival in this church and revival in our city. And Lord, across our nation, bring peace, bring unity. Lord, bring healing. Lord, I pray, Father, for a great awakening to happen, that more and more revivals will break out and it will spread like wildfire across this great nation. And around the world, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God praise for that. Come on. Talking about prayer, if you have a Bible, you can turn to John chapter 8 and hold your place also in James chapter 1. John chapter 8 and James chapter 1. We are in a series, and it's called 50, talking about the 50 days of prayer. But I felt like we were supposed to study the Lord's Prayer again. And I've taught on this before, and I've heard great teachings on it. I've read great material on it as well. But Jesus gave us a pattern of prayer, and it's not normally referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but really it's a teaching on prayer. It's a pattern for prayer that Jesus followed, and he taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6 to follow this pattern when they pray. We're not going to look at those passages in Luke or in Matthew, but I am going to have it on the screen. And I want us to memorize the Lord's Prayer. If you haven't already memorized the Lord's Prayer, I want you to memorize the Lord's Prayer. We're going to do this each week. We're going to go through it in the Old King James because that's the version that most people are familiar with. But before we do this, I want to talk to you first of all. I don't want to assume that there's people in here today who know this. And if you don't know this prayer, if you don't know this pattern on prayer, then it's okay. Don't feel bad about it. I was doing a wedding once, and they had a wedding coordinator, and the wedding coordinator was there, and I was there, and they had everything scheduled and timed out, and they wanted me to read or recite the Lord's Prayer. And they had allotted 5 minutes in the schedule. And I just said, well, it's not going to take that long if I'm just going to read it. And she kind of looked at me, and I said, yeah, it's, and I just recited it from memory right there. And she looked at me with such awe. She was like, how did you do that? How did you just call that up? How did you just have that ready to go? And I said, and I realized she didn't know the Lord's Prayer. I realized that I was assuming that she and the bride and everybody there knew that the Lord's Prayer was not really that long. It took me less than 20 seconds to recite it. But she was amazed that I even knew it from heart. I don't want to assume that you're in here. But I also want to say to you who do know the Lord's Prayer, maybe you've heard teaching on it. Maybe you remember back about 5 years ago when I taught on it in the past, or maybe you've come from a background like I came from, where it was talked about a lot and it was taught on a lot. Listen, I got another story. I remember one time talking with a lady who she was just so upset, and I asked her why she was bothered, and she said, "Well, I just started going to a small group, and in the small group, they're doing the Lord's Prayer. They're doing the teaching. Could you not tarry that I learned how to pray the Lord's Prayer, that teaching?" And she said she was so upset, and I said, "Well, why are you upset about that?" And she said, "Because I already know it. Teach me something I don't know." And so I asked her, I said, "Well, yeah, that's, I understand. But I said, do you think that maybe there's some people in that group who don't know it?" And she thought for a second. She goes, "Well, that's their problem. You know, don't be that person. Okay. Don't be that person." And in fact, what I'm teaching this time is not the could you not tarry teaching. There's going to be parts of it that come out. I just am hoping that God's going to show us new things in His Word on this, all right? But I do want you to memorize the Lord's Prayer. So let's say this out loud together, and we're going to put it up on the screen. Joe, go ahead and put that scripture up. Oh, no. What happened? Well, I don't know. Can you see it? All right. Let's just recite it. I don't know why that happened. It didn't look like that on my computer. Let's say it out loud. Everybody just say it out loud. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise for His Word. I like that. Today I want to talk about the person of prayer. The person of prayer. And we're going to start with that first part of the prayer where it says, "Our Father. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now, is it already messed up again? Did you put up there? Hey, it worked that time. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First of all, thing that I really want you to see is that it says hallowed be thy name. That word can be pronounced hallowed or hallowed. Either way is okay to say. But I can tell you this, it's not Howard, okay? I heard a little kid say that one time, you know, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." No, it's not Howard, it's hallowed. But notice it begins with the phrase, our Father, our Father. If we're going to become people of prayer, we have to know that we're praying to a person. God has a personality. We are created in His image. And so we're praying to a person, capital P, but still a person. We're praying to our Father. And this is why I'm calling this the person of prayer, our Father. And there's a few things I want you to see. That my first point is God is our Father. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but the Lord's Prayer is plural. It says our Father. And throughout the Lord's Prayer, about eight times, in fact, it uses personal pronouns. It says our and we and us. And I think that's significant because I think it reminds us that we're part of a family. He's our Father and we are part of a family. When you pray through the Lord's Prayer, when you use this pattern of prayer, remember that you're His child and He is our Father. And you're part of His family. I think this is important too because it reminds us not only that we're in a family, but it reminds us to pray for others. It's okay to pray for yourself. I just want to get that out there. But sometimes when you're praying, God's going to bring to your remembrance or to your attention someone else that might need prayer. This has happened so often during my personal prayer time as I've been meeting up here three times a day. I'd be praying and I'll have a burden that I'm bringing before the Lord. And it's like God's saying, "Well, I want you to pray for something else right now." And He'll put somebody on my mind and then He'll put somebody else, or He'll put maybe even sometimes a people group on my mind to pray for India, to pray for Israel, or whatever. And what I've found a lot of times is as I do that, the burden that I had just is lifted. God just takes care of that as I'm praying for others. But it reminds us that we're part of a family. It says, "Our Father, who art in heaven." That "who art in heaven" part, I believe also is to remind us that He is sovereign, that He is above the earth. He's in heaven. He is above the earth, which means He's Lord over the earth. He's Lord of your life, and He's Lord of the earth. He's Lord of all. And you can relax when you pray, because the Lord of all, who is in heaven, who is above the earth, who is above the situations, who is above your problems, who is above the challenges that you're facing, the Lord in heaven is your Father. He is your Father, and He's above it all. Not meaning that he's too high and mighty to be bothered by your situation. It means that it's not a problem to Him. It's not a problem to Him to help His children in those times of need. And so whatever the challenge is, he is the Lord of all. He is sovereign. So He is our Father. We're part of a family. And He is the Lord of all. He is sovereign. He is in heaven. Hallowed be His name. That word hallowed means to be set apart. And specifically, it means to be sanctified. It means to be set apart from all evil. Please hear this today. Your Father is set apart from all evil. That does not mean that He's set apart from you, because Jesus paid the ransom, paid the price so that bridge could be gapped, and the complete wrath of God was satisfied on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus took our sin, and we're not separated now from Him, and He's not separated from us, but He is separate from all evil. Hallowed means to be sanctified, to be set apart, to be separated from anything that is evil. Here's what I'm trying to say. Your Father who is in heaven has no evil in Him. He is completely separated from all evil. Now, why is that important to understand? I'm going to be talking more about this in the message here in just a minute. But one of the reasons this is important to understand, big reason it's important to understand, is why on earth would you ever go and pray to somebody if you believe they're the source of your problem? If you think God has caused the problems in your life, you're not going to really be all that excited about going to talk to Him. Unfortunately, that's how a lot of people think about God. I don't want to talk to God. He's why I'm in this mess. No, He is separated from all evil. Your Father, who is in heaven, who's Lord of all, is separated from all evil. And He wants to help you to be sanctified and set apart as well. He wants to come and help you during those problems, during those trials, those challenges, whatever it is that you're facing, any evil that is happening, any darkness that is in your life, your Father wants to help you to be set apart like He is set apart. And so when we say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name," I want you to understand what we're saying in actuality, that we're saying that He is our good Father. Now, He is our Father in heaven, but I want you to also understand that there is evil in this world. He's set apart from it, but there is evil. There is evil in this world. And a lot of times people have that idea about God because they have a bad connotation when it comes to thinking about the Father. They think about the wounds from their own past, maybe the hurts from their earthly father. And I just want to say this to you today. First of all, anything you saw good in your earthly father, he got that from God. But anything you saw bad in your earthly father, he got that from a different father. He got that from the bad father. And number two, my second point here today is that Satan is the bad father. Your earthly father was not the bad father. Anything good in your earthly father, he got from God. Anything bad that you saw in your earthly father, he got from the devil. Anything. And the reason I can say that is because God is sanctified. He is completely set apart from evil. He is completely good. And so, where else then could your earthly father have gotten anything negative or anything bad? He had to have gotten it from the other father, from the bad father, from Satan. And so I'm saying that to say, even y'all know I've been on my own journey of emotional maturity and inner healing. And one of the things that the enemy liked to do was keep me focused on the bad things in my father. My father passed away last year. And the enemy tries to keep us focused on the bad things we see in other people instead of focusing on the God in them, you know. And I started realizing as I did some family mapping through my therapy that, yes, I'm at your pastor's in therapy. As I did that, I realized that I had a lot of family members that were still working through some things. They hadn't gotten to that place yet either where they were perfect. Have you gotten there yet? Any of us gotten there yet? How many of you are working through something right now? Come on, raise your hand. Raise it up high. Look around. Now, somebody's not raising their hand. And anyway, either I need to sit at your feet and learn or you need to get a clue. But we're not perfect. And yet the enemy sometimes keeps us focused on that. And even when it comes to the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the Father, who is God, the Son, who is Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think that the Father part of that is the mean one. He's the mean one. I don't know if I like him. Jesus is the nice one. And of course, the Holy Spirit's the weird one. But y'all know I don't believe that. You know I don't believe that. Somebody's weird. They were weird before the Holy Spirit. But there are two fathers here in Scripture, and I want to show you where Jesus actually talks about this bad father. I had you hold your place in John chapter 8. Look in verse 36. Jesus is speaking here, says, I speak what I have seen my father, or I've seen with my father. And he's talking to religious leaders here. And he says, you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. I want you to see Jesus is saying this to people. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Now watch verse 44 here very carefully. It says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. And then Jesus tells us two things the devil wants to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because, listen carefully, there is no truth in him. There's no truth in Satan. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is talking to lost people about lost people. He's saying lost people want to do what they see their father do. And their father is the devil. They want to do what they see their father do. And Satan wants to do two things. He wants to kill you and he wants to deceive you. He wants to murder and he wants to lie and deceive. If his lips are moving, he's lying. And so you say, well, how does that really relate to me? Because there may be some of you in here who say, well, I kind of understand deception. I understand sometimes hiding. I understand hiding from God, and we don't need to be doing that, but you understand it. But there may be some of you in here saying, well, I've never really wanted to kill anybody. And if you have, let me pray for you at the end of the service and get that delivered off of your life. But But the truth of the matter is, Jesus said that if you're even angry, if you even have hate towards somebody else, you've murdered. You know, so that anger and that hate and that bitterness and that unforgiveness is what Satan wants to come in and do in our lives. Ultimately, he wants it to destroy us. He wants it to destroy our families. He wants to kill you. I said last week, we need to take this seriously because we're at a war, in a war. Satan wants to kill you. He wants to destroy your job. He wants to destroy your finances. He wants to destroy your career. He wants to kill your marriage. He wants to kill your children. He wants to kill your life. He wants to completely destroy your witness. He wants to take away all your hopes and your dreams. He hates you. And we need to take this seriously because we are in a war. He also deceives you. He lies to you. And let me tell you how he lies to you the most. I wanted to talk about this in a previous series that I just finished on the beast and me, but I decided I was going to weave it into this message today. Satan comes in and deceives us most often in our minds, in our thoughts. He comes in and he whispers a lie. He whispers a thought. He brings something to your memory. He brings something into your mind. He brings something into your imagination. Sometimes it's about another person, often someone who's close to you. Sometimes it's about God. Quite often, in fact, it's about God. God did this to you. That's why you can't go to your father. No, he did not do this to you. He's completely separated from, he is sanctified, he is hallowed from all evil. God didn't do it. But Satan will come in sometimes and he'll tell you lies. He'll get you to think a thought. Sometimes the beast in you is your thoughts. And there's a scripture. I didn't put this, I didn't ask you to turn there, but I wanted to show it to you today. This is, again, on the screen. Did I get ahead of myself? No. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I did get ahead of myself. This is something, if you don't want to become prey, you must pray. Little play on words. P-R-E-Y versus P-R-A-Y. If you don't want to become prey of the enemy, who is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, you must pray, P-R-A-Y. I learned that the hard way because I miswrote it one time in a school paper. But he comes in and he puts these lying thoughts in our heads. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments." That word is often translated imaginations. Casting down arguments or imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now get this, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The devil comes and he puts a thought in your mind. It may be an imagination. Romans 1:21 calls it a vain imagination. He comes in though and he puts this vain imagination or this argument against God or against somebody else into your mind and you start to entertain it. You start to believe it, and because it's a vain imagination, you think it's about you. This is how the devil often gets in through a lie and develops a stronghold in our life through the beast of our thoughts. He's a bad father. So he comes in and he puts a thought in your mind that is a lie, but because of vain imagination, you think it's a truth. You've convinced yourself that it's true. He'll say that, you know, that person, they're talking about you. They're saying things about you. And you start to think, they're actually doing it. They're talking about me. They're thinking something bad about me right now. And you start to imagine what you're going to say to them the next time you see them. And when you finally do see them, you might chew your friend out for something that they didn't even do. That was a lie that the enemy put in and you let vain imagination. And it's vain imagination because in your own vanity you think it's true. The reality is they probably weren't even thinking about you or saying anything at all, but out of vain imagination. Or it's something towards God, and it's not true. It's a lie. If you think God is mad at you, if you think God is angry with you, if you think his wrath has not been fully satisfied on the cross of Calvary, if you think that somehow you are a complete disappointment to God, you need to understand that is a lie from Satan. God loves you. He's a good God. Satan's a bad father. And he wants to kill you. And one of the ways he wants to come in and destroy your life, destroy your relationships, is by lying and putting lying thoughts in your mind. He'll put those lying thoughts, like I said, in your mind about your own father, your earthly father, and get you to focus on those things and forget the fact that maybe there's people in our lives that need to be set free as well, and they're hurting too. So, how do you take care of those thoughts, by the way? This is for free. It's real simple. The way you get a wrong thought out of your mind that doesn't align with God's word is you put the right thought in your mind. It's so simple. So I'm going to give you an exercise right now. Do not think about a pink elephant. Stop it. Stop thinking about a pink elephant. What are you doing? You're thinking about a pink elephant. Even though I'm saying don't think about a pink elephant, you can't help it now because I put the thought in your mind. How do you get that pink elephant out of your mind? Start thinking about a blue giraffe. Now all of a sudden you're thinking about a blue giraffe and you've forgotten about the pink elephant, okay? Now all day, the rest of the day, you're not going to hear anything I say because you've got these weird color animals jumping around in your head. Okay. It's real simple though. Replace the lie with the truth. Replace the thought that the enemy puts in your mind with God's word. If it doesn't line up with God's word, put God's word in your mind instead of the lie. Replace it. That's what it means. Take it captive. Don't entertain it. And make it obey Christ. That word, by the way, take it captive in that scripture, literally paints the picture of pinning somebody against the wall with a spear. Take that thought, that lying thought, that murderous thought, that angry thought, that bitter thought, take that lying thought and pin it against the wall and say, I'm going to make you obey Christ. I'm going to put the right thoughts in my head, and God's word is true. Put God's word in. But he's a bad father, and that's how he comes in. But here's my third point today. It's real simple. God's the good father. He's the good father. How many of you believe this today, that he is a good, good father? Remember that he is sanctified. He is set apart from all evil. And he desires to sanctify you as well. I had you hold your place in James chapter 1. Verse 13, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, hear this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. What I talked about in the video a minute ago. It comes down from the Father of lights. Remember that. With whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Very clearly, this is saying, don't be deceived. Don't be lied to. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't be deceived. Don't believe those lies. Everything evil in your life did not come from God. It came from the devil, because God cannot be evil. That's what this is saying. God cannot be evil. There is absolutely no evil in God. If there is something in your life that is evil, it's because you are being drawn away by the lies, the deception of the enemy, of the bad father. And you're being tempted by the devil. And Satan takes a desire sometimes and he turns it, he twists it away from God. And when we give in to that temptation, we give in to sin, and sin leads to death every single time. It leads to separation. It leads to death every single time. But it wasn't God who did it. In fact, 1 Corinthians tells us that we can overcome all those temptations. There's nothing There is nothing that he will not allow you to be tempted to a level that you cannot overcome, that you cannot withstand it. I used to argue with a lot of teenagers, particularly on this issue when I was a youth pastor. They just say, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help. Yes, you could. You didn't want to. But you could, because God is a good father. He will not allow us to be tempted to a level we cannot withstand. And here's the other thing. Here's how good he is. He always, the Bible says, provides a way of escape. My wife wanted me to make sure not to forget to say that. Because that's a big one. You are always saying that. She's saying, God always provides a way out. Why? Because he's a good father. He's a good father. That's who he is. We have to get to the place that we truly believe that Satan is bad and God is good. In everything evil in our life did not come from our good father. It came from our bad father. So here's the simple theology. God, good. Devil, bad. God, good. Devil, bad. Now this simple, almost childlike truth is so powerful when we get it into our spirits, because why would you go and pray to someone if you're not sure that their heart is right, that they're not sure that they're good? But he's our heavenly father. He's our father. He's in heaven and he is sanctified. He is completely set apart from all evil. And he's so good, in fact, that he meets the every need that we maybe didn't get. We certainly didn't get from our bad father, but we maybe didn't get it from our earthly father. Let me show you some of these things that God is known for. His name. It says, hallowed be his name. Before I do that, Psalm 119:68. Memorize this scripture. It says, you are good and you do good. It's so simple, but he is good and he does good. God good, devil bad. He is good and he does good. Sometimes we need to just get back to the simplicity of the gospel. I read in James a minute ago, it said that he is the father of lights. What does that mean? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, it gives us a clue. It says that you may become blameless and harmless children. Now, get this, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. He's the big light. He's big daddy. He's the big light. We're the little lights. And look at this verse. Do you think that this kind of fits our culture today? In a perverse generation. In a crooked and a perverse generation. We need to shine more as lights than ever before. We need to show the goodness of our Father. He's a good Father. In the ancient Hebrew, there were many names for God. And this is one of those teachings that I remembered some of the names of God, but sometimes I got confused as to where they were defined. And so I just memorized the meanings that I understood, and I didn't think so much about the ancient Hebrew names, because we don't talk that way anyway when we pray. But I want you to see these qualities of your good Father. And these are the 8 Hebrew names of God from the Old Testament. Go ahead and put up that next one. God is our righteousness. That's what one of his names means. It says, hallow his name. Worship, praise, thank him for who he is. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He's the one who sets us apart from evil. He is our peace. He is the God who, he's the peace that passes understanding. He's the Prince of Peace. But he's also the God who is there. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never turn his face away from you. He will never turn his heart away from you. And he is always there. How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, but some of you may say, my father was never there for me. Your good father will always be there for you. He will never leave you. He is your healer. He's your provider. In fact, that's one of the two names a lot of people do remember. He is Jehovah Jireh or Yiri is a proper pronunciation, but Jehovah Jireh, our provider, what it literally means is he sees you. You don't have to worry about that. God knows right where you are. He sees you, and he knows what you need. He's going to provide for you. He's your healer, Jehovah Rapha. He is your healer. He is your provider. He is your banner. It's Jehovah Nisi. If you drive a Nissan, that's where that word comes from. He's Jehovah, your banner. What does that mean? It means that he goes before you. The battle belongs to him. I said last week, you don't have to worry. You can lay every burden, cast every care upon him. Why? Because he's also your shepherd. He guards over you and he watches you and he protects you. All of this equals God is love. God is love. This was the equation. That's the total. God is love. He's a good father. So as I'm praying, this is just one part of this prayer. God, you are my father. You are our father. We're part of a family. God's looking for a family. If it wasn't true, he'd have us refer to him as something other than father. And he loves his children. So as I'm praying, I'm saying, God, you're my father. Our father in heaven. You're above everything. You are above it. And there's nothing I have to worry about because nothing takes you by surprise. You are Lord of my life. You are Lord of this earth and you are Lord of all. And I don't have to worry. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. You're set apart from all evil. Anything bad comes from my old father. Anything good comes from my good father. You're my good father. You're set apart from all evil. And you want nothing but good things for me. And I hallow your name. I worship you. I praise you. I thank you that you're my righteousness. You're my sanctification. You are my peace that passes understanding. You are the God who is there. You will never leave me or forsake me. You are my healer. You are my provider. You are my protector. And you go before me as a banner. Your banner over me is love. And you are my shepherd. I shall not want. You're a good father. This could easily be called the prayer of praise, because we come into his presence with thanksgiving. We enter his courts with praise. As you go into your prayer time this week, I'm calling you to 50 days of prayer. And if all you're doing is 5 minutes this week, can I just tell you, spread it out a little bit more. Go ahead and go 10 minutes this week and hang out that first 5 minutes just our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and begin to worship him and thank him for who he really is. He's your good father. I want to close with this morning. You can go ahead and start playing that today. But everybody stand up. I'll give you, you've been sitting a while. I want to close with this. I believe that this is my opinion, and I almost want to use the word conviction, but I could be wrong. So a very strong opinion that every bondage in life really can be traced back to a father wound. And that's not to say that your dads all were bad, okay? But there is often a wound that happens because none of us had perfect fathers. And so I do feel like that every bondage that comes from life usually comes, though, from a sense of rejection, because we were born rejected. Because of sin, we were born into sin, and therefore we were born separated from our good father, from God. When we are born again, we are accepted now by the good father, and he receives us with love. But because we were born rejected, even if we had a good earthly father, there's sometimes that sense of rejection. There's a sense that we're not being affirmed. And I'll say this today. The affirmation that we're all looking for is the father affirmation. Even in a family, a little boy playing Little League, when he looks up into the stands, he doesn't care who else's father's there. And he's happy if mom's there, but he's looking for father. Little girls, they get their affirmation from father. They play dress up. Mom may say, "You're so pretty." And that makes them feel good. But when dad gets home and say, "You're the most beautiful little girl in the world," they've been truly affirmed then. Even grown-ups, women, often are looking for affirmation from a father. Grown men, and I can say this from experience, even grown men, we find our affirmation from the father. And you need to understand the good father. You may have never gotten it from your earthly father, but you need to understand that your heavenly father is a good father. And he's looking at you today and he's affirming you. He's saying, "I love you. I accept you. I receive you." One of my favorite scriptures is chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, "We are accepted in the beloved." It's the same word God used when he said from heaven at Jesus' baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That same acceptance now is on every one of our lives if we're believers in Christ. He says, "You're my beloved. You're accepted in the beloved." And that affirmation that we are all looking for, that father wound that we may all have had, can only be healed by our good father. But here's something else. Hear this today before we leave. There's no reason to ever go unhealed from a father wound because you have a good father. Amen. So we're going to have prayer leaders down here at the front today. Come on, those that are ready to pray. And I want to encourage you to come pray with us at some point during this 50 days. Pray every day on your own. But today, if there's something in your heart that needs to be healed by your good father, we have these prayer leaders that are here today. Maybe some of you here today you don't really have a relationship with God. You're not really a believer. You haven't been, or you haven't become a Christian and a follower of Jesus. Today can be the day that you receive that acceptance that you've needed your whole life, and that healing that comes as well. If you need prayer for anything else, these leaders are here to pray with you today.